The information provided in this episode is provided for general informational purposes only and may not reflect the current law in your state or country. By watching and listening to our episode, you understand that no information contained in this episode should be construed as legal advice and no attorney-client relationship between you, the host, or guest. You are advised to seek legal counsel concerning your legal question or concern from a lawyer licensed in your state, country, or appropriate licensing jurisdiction.
Today's episode, pag-usapan natin ang divorce dito sa Texas. Now, please take note that ang divorce dito sa US ay state law yan. So, iba-iba, may mga pagkakaiba ang mga batas about state. Yan. Kung napakinggan nyo yung earlier episode namin about divorce, ang guest ko doon ay si Attorney Agnes Balan. Ang pinag-usapan naman namin ay divorce, based naman sa mga divorces na nangyayari sa US na nakaka-apekto rin sa Philippines. Kung i-recognize ba yan sa Philippines. Kaya naman, ang pag-uusapan natin ay Texas divorce. Sort yan, hindi natin ina-encourage na mag-divorce ang mga tao, pero tinitingnan natin na lang siya as solution. Kasi you need to have a way out, diba, in that situation. Ngayon, nabanggit na rin ni Attorney Tina na nagkakasundo, may mga lumalapit na nagkasundo na lang sila na maghiwalay. Kasi nga naman dito sa Texas, meron tayong tinatawag na no-fault divorce at saka fault divorce. Gusto mo bang explain sa kanilang difference, Attorney Tina, bago tayo pumunta sa mga grounds ng divorce dito sa Texas?
Okay, so say no-fault divorce, yung pangalan, madali na siyang tingnan, di ba? No-fault. So, wala nang sasabihin na merong may kasalanan.
Mm-hmm.
So, wala nang grounds para, kunwari, may ginawang hindi maganda yung isa. Kumbaga, kung fault kasi, may isang party na magsasabi, siya yung may kasalanan ng breakup ng marriage.
Tama.
So, no-fault divorce, kumbaga, mamaya sasabihin natin, 'di ba, yung ground ng no fault divorce.
Oo.
So 'yun, walang may kasalanan. Wala talaga may kasalanan. Hindi lang talaga kayo match.
Yung fault divorce naman, ito naman yung naghihiwalay kayo, nagpa-file kayo ng divorce dahil may kasalanan yung isa. Ayan. So ngayon, dahil nabanggit na rin natin 'yan, ano-ano nga ba ang mga grounds ng divorce dito sa Texas? Doon sa ating batas, sa family code natin, there are 7, right? Mm-hmm. 7 grounds. So, isa-isahin natin yan. Para lang mabigyan namin kayo ng idea kung ano-ano nga ba yung ano. Kasi minsan ang tao, ang alam lang nila, ay sinasaktan ako, divorce. Mm-hmm. You know? Ay, nang babae siya, divorce. Kaya ganon. Kaya nang lalaki siya, divorce. So, ano-ano nga ba ito? Una dyan, yung nabanggitan natin yung insupportability. At yun nga kapag hindi na nga kayo magkasundo, no, diba? No. Oo, yan. Yun yung insupportability. No fault yun. Na-discussan natin yung insupportability, ano? Puntahan natin yung cruelty. Ano ba tong ground na ito ng divorce? When the ground is cruelty, what do we mean by this?
Yung cruelty kasi medyo general siya, diba?
Mm-hmm.
So, parang kung paano mo ipapresent as cruelty. Kunwari, pwede yan, pwede yung abuse, pwede yan eh. Emotional, physical, and mental abuse. Well, physical, syempre, yung violence. Physical abuse, mental abuse, yung pananakit, pupunta siya sa cruelty.
Mm-mm.
Pero, hindi lang physical, kundi, kunwari, ayaw kang bigyan ng pera, papasok rin yan sa cruelty. Yung,
tinitipid ka. Hindi ka na makabili ng kailangan mo, mga ganun, ano? Yeah, so tama yan. Kasi ang cruelty talaga, it's actually a vague term. It's a big...
Depende sa presentation mo.
That's right. Walang definition. Hindi yan identified ng batas kung ano yung cruelty. So, katulad nga ng binanggit ni Attorney Tina na iba-iba yung level ng cruelty. Iba-iba rin yung circumstances ng mga tao. Pwedeng cruelty sa isang tao, pero sa isang party naman ay hindi. Now, the other ground is adultery. Ayan. So, meron ka bang kwento dyan, Attorney Tina, about adultery dyan?
Wala naman akong case na adultery. Pero, yung mga cases dito sa Texas, di ba? So, kailangan talaga, ano yan eh, documented. Para sa Pilipinas din na pag adultery, kailangan may evidence ka talaga, may proof ka. Although sa Pilipinas, iba naman yung criminal case doon eh, adultery, mm-hmm. diba? Dito naman, kahit circumstantial evidence,
tama.
Hindi mo naman kailangan talaga makita na ano.
Yung video, hindi mo naman kailangan ipakita talaga yung video, pero may mga...
Oo, na may act, diba?
Oo.
Pero pwede yung circumstantial evidence.
Tama.
Pero mahirap pa rin siyang patunayan.
Oo, mahirap i-prove kasi syempre you have to convince na ginagawa niya. Ano ba yung mga strong evidence ng adultery, 'di ba? Pwede siguro pagka nagkaroon siya ng anak sa labas, 'di ba? That's a strong evidence. Pero kung wala, pag-iipon ka ng mga circumstantial evidence mo, yung mga tawag, you know, iipunin mo kasi you have to show that there is adultery going on sa part ng spouse mo. Other ground is conviction of felony. Ayan. So ano bang ano? Wala pa naman naman naging client na nag-file ng divorce based on conviction of felony. Meron ka na ba naging client na ganyan?
Wala naman.
Na?
Wala. Pero ayun din, di ba, kung sa Texas case laws, yun yung the mere conviction of a felony, yun na. So walang hirap talaga ito pag conviction of a felony. Parang, well, mamaya yung sa seventh na ground. So,
related yan.
Basta bigyan mo ng proof or certificate or kung anumang papel na document na proof nung act na ng ground na yan. So, madali na siyang i-file.
Oo, kasi syempre conviction yun eh. So, kailangan mo lang ng ano, certified copy ng court order yan. Pero syempre yung conviction dapat nangyari during the marriage. Kailangan, ano yung conviction niya nangyari during the marriage. Syempre, because it's a felony, there is a jail time, mga 1 year jail time yung kanyang sentence. Kasi syempre nga naman, isang taon ka nasa kulungan eh. So, hindi mo na magagampanan yung responsibility mo sa asawa mo. So, that's why it's being used as a ground for divorce. It's not because, masamang tao ka. Pero dahil nga convicted ka, syempre makukulong ka. At pag nakulong ka, hindi mo na syempre makukomply yung obligations mo doon sa family mo. Diba? And the family has to move on. The other partner, your spouse, has to move on. Siyempre, di ba? That's why it's being used as a ground for divorce. So, yung susunod natin, ground ay abandonment. Meron ka na bang na-handle na ganyan, ground ay abandonment? Ano nga ba itong abandonment? Kailan pwedeng maging ground for divorce ang abandonment?
So, I guess, pareho nang sinasabi mo na hindi niya na nagko-comply yung yung obligation niya, di ba?
Oo, kasi umalis siya, di ba?
Oo. So, ilang taon ba yan? One year?
One year. Kailangan 1 year yung abandonment. So, kung bumalik siya after a year, sorry na lang siya.
Kasi,
it has to be continuous, ha? It has to be continuous.
Tatlong buwan, wala siya.
Hanggang nagbabakasyon ka lang, tatlong buwan, nawala, tapos
inad mo. One year na siya, inabandon ako, hindi.
Kailangan continuous yun na 1 year. Tsaka syempre, kailangan mong patunayan doon na may intention talaga siya na i-abandon ka.
Trabaho siya sa ibang bansa, tapos alam mo naman. So, hindi abandon mo.
Nagtatrabaho yun eh. Mm-hmm. Siguro intent, mapapakita mo yung intent kapag hindi na nagko-communicate, no? Mm-hmm. Tapos naka-block ka na sa Facebook, joke. Di ba gano'y mga, ay, binlock na ako sa Facebook.
Hindi ka binibigyan ng support.
Hindi ka binibigyan ng support.
For a year.
Ayaw ka nang kausapin. Ayaw niya na magkaroon kayo ng connection. So, kahit na sa mga Instagram niya, sa Facebook niya, sa Twitter niya, hindi mo na siya ma-access. Pwedeng nagpalit siya ng pangalan, mga ganyan. So, kailangan mo i-prove yung intent naman niya talaga to abandon. Pero, i-distinguish natin yan sa susunod na ground. Kasi susunod na ground ay living apart. Yung alam mo naman yung living apart, magkaiwalay na ka ng tira.
Tama, pareho. Halos pareho nga siya, no?
Oo, pero kasi, anong pagkaiba nun?
Living apart, ito for 3 years naman siya, di ba?
Oo, tama ka dyan. 3 years naman.
Oo.
Unlike sa abandonment, 1 year. Pero naman kasi itong living apart, pwede naman kayo nagkikita pa kayo, nag-uusap kayo, siguro may mga anak kayo ganyan or sa business, pero hindi na kayo nagsasama. Yan ang fourth thing.
Saka again, yung intent na maghiwalay na kayo. Kunwari kasi again, kung
nagtatrabaho
kayo sa bansa, kumari parang OFW, 3 years na kayo, hindi, eh syempre hindi talaga kayo magkakasama for 3 years kung yung kontrata ay 3 years, di ba? So yung mga ganun, hindi naman basta separately you're living apart tapos wala namang intent talaga na maghiwalay.
Magsama. Maghiwalay. Yes.
So hindi yung considered as living apart. Kasi kumbaga, kung intertwined pa rin yung mga buhay nyo, you're not really living apart. Hindi yung, I guess yung distance, hindi talaga siya yung basehan dyan eh. Kasi kung may intent na kahit na nakatira ka sa Switzerland, tapos nandito ako, pero we're still, alam mo yun, we're still a couple, we're married. So, hindi tayo pwedeng mag-divorce on that ground.
Ngayon yung, I guess this is the last na, no? Last ground, yung confinement in mental hospital. Ayan, ano ba tong ground na ito for a divorce? Kailan mo to pwedeng magamit as a ground? Ayan, so you wanna, did you ever have a case like this?
Meron ako, hindi ko case siya, pero I guess it's known in Texas. Yung si Yates, si Andrea Yates.
Ano
Andrea
ba yung,
Yates, yes. Na-confine siya sa mental hospital dahil, she killed her children.
Yeah.
So, na-confine siya sa mental hospital. Tapos, dinivorce siya ng husband niya.
Mm-hmm.
Ayan. Yung husband niya ay kaklase ko sa, ano.
Oh, really? Kaya pala, you're very familiar with this. Oh, yeah. So, ang ground for divorce nila ay yung confinement niya sa mental hospital.
So,
kasi nga, di ba, dapat at least, ano, na-confine ka 3 years na doon, di ba? Yun yung requirement para magamit mo to as a ground for divorce. And then, of course, syempre, kailangan mo patunayan na mentally ill ka nga.
Yun. Oo. Dahil yun yung defense niya. Yun yung ginamit.
Oo. So, ginamit niya sa case niya, ginamit din sa divorce. Pero alam mo, yung kaso naman kasi, kailangan, unlikely na siya na mag-improve. Kailangan, di ba, ipatunayan nila yun na there's a greater chance na hindi na talaga siya mag-improve.
Oo.
So, 3 years na siya na naka-confined sa mental hospital because of mental illness. And there's unlikely to improve yung kanyang situation. Kaya pwede nang gamitin yun as ground for divorce.
Mm-hmm.
Alam nyo, ang topic natin ngayon ay divorce. You know, hindi naman natin, it's not a new topic here sa Usapang Off the Record. Ang kaibahan nga lang ay tayo ngayon ay soloist. So, ako ang makakasama nyo the whole time dito sa show at pag-uusapan natin ang process of getting divorced here sa Texas. Because you know, divorce law is a state law. So, maaaring iba-iba ang process sa iba't ibang state. So, we will look at the overview of the process of getting divorced here in the state of Texas. But before we do that, I think it's important for us to understand yung mga importanteng mga terms na ginagamit sa divorce para mas lalo nating maintindihan. So, meron tayo dito sa Texas na tinatawag na agreed divorce, okay? Agreed divorce, from the word agreed, ibig sabihin yung mag-asawa, they agree to, you know, to end the marriage, to file a divorce, get a divorce decree. Siyempre, even if it's agreed divorce, pag-usapan pa rin dyan, kailangan i-settle pa rin yung mga issues na involved sa divorce. Like for example, kung may mga bata, may mga minor children, yan. So kasama din doon yung yung child support, yung custody, which is ang tawag dito, yung conservatorship sa Texas, and yung division of property, ng community property ng mag-asawa, because Texas is a community state. So, ibig sabihin, lahat ng naipundar, all the income, yung mga purchases ng mag-asawa during the marriage ay generally considered or characterized as community property. So, community property, yung mag-asawa ay merong parehong karapatan doon sa community property na yun. So, pag nag-divorce sila, they'll have to, of course, divide the community property among themselves. So, in an agreed divorce, they can pretty much agree to whatever division that like kung conservatorship naman or custody. Yan. So pwede din sila magkasundo kung sino ang may sole custody sa bata, tag dito ay sole conservator na magulang, at yung isa naman ay pwedeng possessory conservator. Ibig sabihin, meron siyang karapatan to possess the child, visit the child, you know, yung visitation right ng other parent. Pwede rin naman, kasi ang default dito ay joint conservatorship sila. Ibig sabihin, dalawa silang mga magulang, equal rights in terms of sa pagpapalaki sa kanilang mga anak. So that is an agreed divorce. Meron din tayong tinatawag na default divorce. Ito, siguro kung you've undergone a divorce and maring you are familiar with this term, itong default divorce na ito, ito lang naman yung kapag kayong nag-file ka, ang isang spouse filed a petition for divorce, tapos yung the other spouse did not reply, so he or she will be declared in default. So kaya siya naging default divorce, kasi pwedeng mag-proceed yung divorce nang na hindi na kailangan yung participation ng other spouse, kasi nga hindi naman siya sumagot, the other spouse failed to reply within the time period or time given by the law to reply in case ma-serve ka ng petition for divorce. Yan. Well, the other term na maririnig ninyo related sa divorce cases sa Texas is yung dissolution of marriage. But dissolution of marriage is actually, it's a general term. It includes divorce or annulment. So it's just dissolving the marriage. So it could either be dissolved through divorce or annulment. Yeah. And the other important term there, if you are filing for divorce here in the state of Texas, ay yung term na petitioner, and yung terms na petitioner and respondent. So when you say petitioner, ito lang naman yung spouse na nag-file ng petition, yung nag-initiate ng filing. Okay, so ikaw, let's say for example, yung wife filed the petition for divorce, then yung wife ang tinatawag na petitioner. And then the other spouse, siya naman ang tinatawag na respondent. So mga terms na kailangan ninyong maintindihan kapag you are involved in a divorce proceeding or may nagtanong sa inyo about divorce dito sa Texas. Ngayon, the other term na I think it's important for you to understand is the term pro se. Ang pro se, that means na hindi, you are not being represented by an attorney sa divorce case mo. You are filing on your own. You are representing yourself in court. Yan. So pro se ang tawag doon. So that means you don't have an attorney who is representing you in your case. Yeah. Also, I'd like to add the term uncontested divorce. Kasi kanina, di ba, nabanggit natin na agreed divorce. Tapos ito naman, uncontested. Ang ibig sabihin na uncontested ay it could either be an agreed divorce o kaya naman default divorce. Kasi nga, uncontested dahil hindi naman nag-contest yung other spouse. Nagkaroon kayo ng agreement na ganito na nga ang gagawin ninyo sa mga issues like child support, custody, and division of property. O kaya naman, in a default divorce, kasi the other spouse did not file an answer, so you can proceed. So it becomes uncontested. Now, in the process of filing divorce here in Texas, ang isa sa mga importanteng dapat nyo malaman ay ang service of process. Yung service of process na yun, yung formal act notifying you that there is a lawsuit, or in this case, a petition for divorce that is filed by your spouse against you. So you have to be served. You have to be served of a copy of the petition filed nung other spouse mo, the petition for divorce. Now, when we say service of process, you have to actually receive yung ano yung petition, because if kung hindi mo if you did not receive your a copy of the petition, how will you know that there is a petition filed against you? Interesting, di ba? And why is it important for you to be served in this case? Kasi through service, magkakaroon ng jurisdiction ang court sa'yo. So that means the court can proceed with the petition for divorce once the court acquired a jurisdiction over your person. Now, service of process, kaya yan ay importante. So now, I'd like to discuss a little bit about itong service of process. Ah, kasi this is actually a very important step sa filing of divorce here in Texas. And I already mentioned earlier na if you are not served properly ng petition, the court will not acquire jurisdiction over your person, and then the court therefore cannot adjudicate the petition. So hindi mag-move forward yung petition, at pag tumagal pa yan na walang movement a certain time, ay pwedeng i-dismiss na yon ng court, na sabihin, oh, this is na papadalan ka ng notice of intent to dismiss your case, and then mag-start ka ulit. So, well, for the service of process, syempre ang requirement niyan is, of course, the other spouse must be served the petition, the process personally. Okay, so it's either you deliver it personally kung alam mo yung address ng spouse mo, or service through constable or sheriff. So pagka ganun, you have to pay additional fee for that, for the service fee. Can a person file a divorce and get a divorce without the other spouse knowing it? And is it even possible? So meron yung mga bigla ka na lang magugulat, ay, divorce na pala ako. So paano nangyari yun, attorney? Hindi ko alam na na-divorce na ako. I never went to court. I never saw any I never received any notice from the court. So how can it happen? And I'm telling you, it can happen dahil nangyari na nga yan. So pwede talagang mangyari yun, depende din sa, of course, kung anong nangyari through sa divorce case mo from the very beginning, from the onset of your divorce case. So in this case, this is true kung sakasakali man na nag-file ng divorce yung spouse mo, let's say yung husband, okay? Nag-file ng divorce doon sa kanyang spouse sa district court, sa family court, kung saan whoever filed the petition is domiciled or staying in whatever county. Kasi alam mo dito sa Texas, you can file for a divorce. You can file a petition for divorce as long as you have been domiciled here in Texas for 6 months, and you can file doon sa county kung saan ka nakatira if you have been living in that county for 90 days prior to the filing of the petition. So pwede kang mag-file niyan. Kaya kahit ngayon yung spouse mo is not in the same county, is not here in Texas, you can still file divorce here in Texas as long as you can comply with the required residency dito sa Texas. Okay? So, ang mangyayari sa ganyan, pag nag-file ng petition for divorce, yung husband, in this case, doon sa family court, siyempre yung husband has to serve the other spouse, the wife, di ba? We were talking about service para magkaroon ng jurisdiction yung court. Ngayon, we also talk about paano yung service. Now, the exception when you don't need to serve your spouse of the petition that you filed is through a waiver. Okay? So Diba sabi natin that the court will acquire jurisdiction over your petition and the, you know, the petition, the respondent, kapag ka na-serve yung respondent, diba? Now, the other way to go around that, kung hindi mo na kailangan magbayad ng service ng constable or sheriff para i-serve personally yung spouse, yung wife in this case, if you can ask the wife, your wife or your spouse to sign a waiver. Yung waiver na yon, it's actually, it states there that the other spouse who signed the waiver is waiving their, you know, his or her right. For this case, the wife, her right to notices. So, hindi mo na kailangan padala ng notice yon, wi-waive mo eh. So, pag pinirma, usually nangyayari to kapag ka mga agreed divorce, yan, uncontested, para maiwasan nilang additional fee for filing, you know, for service, yung service fee, they prepare a waiver and they ask the other spouse to sign the waiver. And then it's very, very convenient for the other spouse to just sign it. Kasi syempre, sabi nila, ay, magkakasundo naman tayo sa lahat ng mga, ano, ng ating mga issues eh. So go ahead and sign it para hindi na tayo mag-extra pay, hindi na magbayad ng service fee. So the other spouse naman, you know, thinking that it's just a waiver of notice and, you know, it's you know, hindi niya masyadong naintindihan yung legal ano, implication nun, nag-sign naman siya. So dahil nag-sign siya ngayon, if a file yung waiver na yon sa court that the spouse signed it. So ibig sabihin wini-waive niya yon. So the court will acquire jurisdiction when that person signed the waiver. So ngayon hindi mo alam pala yung waiver na yon, sinasabi mo doon na you can go ahead proceed with whatever. I don't have to be notified. You sign, you waive your right to notices. So ngayon hindi ka na kung ano man ang i-file nung ano nung husband mo, pwedeng you know, hindi ka na kailangang bigyan pa ng notice kung anumang final niya because you waived it already. Now, in this case, pwedeng mangyari na divorce na sa hindi na alam kasi hindi niya maalala kung anong pinirmahan niya. Kasi it could have been that the waiver, pinadala sa kanya yung waiver and at the same time yung divorce decree. Kasi nga, 'di ba, nagkasundo naman sila sa lahat ng ano, sa lahat ng mga issues. Let's say for example, it's a simple divorce because walang mga minor children, walang masyadong mga community properties. O nagkasundo na lang sila na kung ano yung sayo, kung anong akin. So it's a very simple divorce decree, how many pages lang? Siguro mga 8 pages or 12 pages divorce decree yan. So pinirma niya both. So ngayon, yung other spouse na nag-file will just have to wait for 60 days. So makalipas sa 60 days, pwede niya nang i-submit yung ano, yung pinirmahan na divorce decree because it's an agreed divorce. Submit niya yun sa court and the court will see that the other spouse waived his or her right to notice and sign the waiver and they're not being represented by attorneys, pro se sila pareho. So the court will sign it because you have agreed to the terms. So pag napirmahan ng court yon ng judge yung divorce decree mo, final na yung divorce mo. So hindi mo you don't even have to be notified na sign na ng judge yung ano yung divorce decree mo. So in that case, hindi mo alam na divorce ka na pala. I wanna share with you muna itong topic natin. Ang pag-usapan natin ay divorce and ano adultery. Yan. Bakit nga ba importante itong divorce and adultery? Alam nyo, of course, dito sa US ay legal ang no mag-file ng divorce, makakuha ka ng divorce. Although sa Philippines hindi pa, hindi natin alam kung ano kung may papasa na ang batas na 'yan. Pero for now, dahil yan ay legal dito sa US, may maniwala kahit sa hindi, ang dami-daming mga divorce cases every single day. So, sa isang county nga lang dito, pag tiningnan mo, parang almost every day, merong nafa-file na divorce. It could either be an contested divorce, default divorce, or contested divorce. Sagutan yung mga katanungan na, did your, you know, like, kung halimbawang nag-cheat nga sa'yo yung spouse mo, ano ba ang epekto nun sa divorce? Meron ba? Aside from the fact na alam natin, of course, because if you watch the previous show natin dito sa Usapang Off the Record, sinabi natin na adultery is one of the grounds for fault divorce. Yon. So, i-refresh lang natin ang ating memory. Ano? Meron tayong tinatawag na fault at saka no fault. Yung no fault dito, meron man kang, kahit
wala mang kasalanan yung other spouse mo, pwede kayong kumuha ng divorce kung hindi na kayo magkasundo, you know. Hindi niyo na matiisang isa't isa. Pwede kayong mag-file ng divorce. Yan ang tinatawag nating no fault divorce. Hindi na tinitingnan kung sinong may kasalanan, okay? Yung fault divorce naman, yun yung tinitingnan kung nag-file ka ng divorce kasi may kasalanan yung isang spouse. Yung let's say yung wife mo, yung husband mo. And we discussed the different grounds of divorce and isa na nga doon na yung adultery. Now, bakit tayo nagpo-focus sa adultery ngayon? It's because I want you to understand na hindi lahat ng sasabihin mo kasi, bakit mo pa kailangang i-prove ang adultery kung pwede ka na mag-divorce? Ang dahilan mo lang hindi kayo magkasundo. Ba't kailan mo pang i-prove ang adultery kung may adultery ganyan? Yes, importante yan na kung merong may fault sa marriage ninyo, ay importanteng i-allege mo yan. Could be the one of the grounds of your why you are filing for divorce kasi may mga impact ang fault sa contested divorce or sa divorce itself. And yun ang ating aalamin sa ating usapang off the record ngayon. Yan. What is considered adultery in Texas? Ano nga ba ang adultery in Texas? Alam niyo sa Philippines, may adultery rin eh. Pero pareho kaya ang definition? Of course, alam naman natin na when we say adultery, you have to look into what did the law say. Ito ba, matatawag ba itong adultery o hindi? Bago mo sabihin, ay, guilty ka ng adultery, you know? Huwag basta-basta magbintang. Ano bang tawag doon? Do not judge. Huwag mo pang husga. Alam mo muna, is it really adultery in the state of Texas or not? Kapag ka ba meron kang nakilala dyan at nagkaroon kayo ng relationship, naging, let's say, you are already married, nagkaroon ka ng girlfriend, automatic ba na adultery na yon? Dito sa Texas? Well, hindi siya automatic. You have to qualify what kind of relationship you have there. Ang dito kasi sa Texas, it will be considered an adultery kapag you are married and then you engage in a voluntary sexual intercourse with somebody na hindi mo asawa. So remember that definition, ha? Huh? Voluntary, you engage in a voluntary sexual intercourse with another person na hindi mo asawa. So kung walang sexual intercourse, that may not qualify as adultery here in the state of Texas. Ano ba yung role ng adultery dito sa Texas divorce talaga? Bakit importante yan? Dito sa Texas, hindi naman talaga illegal ang adultery, you know? Hindi ka naman makikriminalize because nakipag sexual intercourse ka sa ibang tao na hindi mo asawa, no? Hindi siya it's not illegal in Texas. I'm not saying that yes, go ahead and do it, you know. It has an effect just in case nagkaroon na kayo ng divorce kasi magiging ground na siya kailangan patunayan na may adultery. Bago natin pag-usapan ko ng paano mo papatunayan may adultery, bakit nga ba mahalaga na mapatunayan mo na may adultery? Ano ba ang epekto noon? Although, like I said, it's not illegal in Texas ang adultery, ay nakaka-apekto yon sa desisyon ng judge later on doon sa divorce case. And you remember sa divorce case, may mga issues kayo na dapat ninyong isettle. May mga issues na dapat i-address ang judge during yung divorce process na yan. At ang mga common issues natin dyan ay division of your property. Kasi syempre dito, Texas is a community property. So, pag nag-divorce kayo, pag iusapan ninyo kung paano i-divide yung community property ninyo. Because remember, Texas is not automatically 50-50 ang hatian dyan. Okay? Ang division of the property, of community property during a divorce proceeding or divorce case ay based on just and right. So, just and right. And how do we determine what is just and right? Doon na papasok
the fault? Sino ang may kasalanan sa, you know, sa marriage? Bakit kayo nagde-divorce? Sino ang may kasalanan? Sino ang may mas mabigat na kasalanan? So doon napapasok yung iba't ibang mga factors. At isa nga sa mga factor na yun ay adultery, fault divorce. Yan. May epekto nga ba ang adultery sa in terms of alimony sa Texas? How much proof do we need to prove adultery? Remembering mo yung ano, yung scenario natin, yung what if scenario natin, ba? Yung kanyang best ano ba yung kababata niya, childhood friend niya, who is a nurse, moved here sa ano sa US, nag-asawa, and then ang hinala niya nga eh merong karelasyon yung kanyang husband, pero wala siyang ano proof, walang text, walang ano email. As a matter of fact, yung kanyang husband ay walang ano, walang Facebook account. So naririnig lang niya pero naririnig niya na nag-uusap sila sa madaling araw, ganyan, and then nawala yung husband niya for 2 weeks, hindi niya alam saan nagpunta. So mga ano 'yan, pwedeng matawag mo 'yun ng mga circumstantial evidence na magpapatunay, pwede mong magamit ang mga 'yon para mapatunayan ang na merong adultery, of course, because if you allege a fault in a marriage in a divorce case, you have to prove it in court para ano, you know, you get a favorable decision on your part. Ngayon, ang tanong ni Rusty, how much proof do we need to prove? Hindi yan ano, guilty beyond reasonable doubt. No. Kailangan lang ng ano, ng clear, yan na, clear evidence ang ano natin din is you know, pwede mo magamit yung circumstantial evidence katulad ng mga sinasabi ko, not necessarily direct evidence, pero syempre kailangan makonvince mo yung court na yung spouse mo talaga naman is in ano had a sexual relationship with another person na hindi ikaw yon. Okay? Ang tawag din ni clear and positive proof na ano siya, guilty siya ng adultery. So ano nga ba tong community property? Siguro we will understand it better if we explain it kasama ng separate property. Okay? So meron tayong tinatawag na separate property and meron din tayong tinatawag na community property. Okay? At syempre pa, mayroon akong ano, inhanda sa inyong visual diyan. So let's try this one. Ayan. So, what you see here is actually a map of Texas, you know. And like I said, we have to determine whether the property is community property or separate property. Now, simulan muna natin yung separate property. So, ang mag-ano kasi, ang spouses, yung mag-asawa, okay, bago sila ikasal, they had the opportunity to work, accumulate property, and bumibili sila ng mga real property nila, bahay lupa, bahay lupa, yun, cars, mga investments, prior sila, prior to their marriage, you know. Lahat ng mga properties na yon that were accumulated, purchased, and obtained before the person got married, yun ang tinatawag na separate property. Okay? So, kaya ngayon ang tanong kapag may nagde-divorce attorney, ako binili ko naman tong bahay ko na to before the marriage. So, ibig sabihin nito, akin to, di ba, walang karapatan yung asawa ko dito sa divorce, pag nag-divorce kami. Yun ang mga concern kadalasan tinatanong ng ating mga kababayan or ng ating mga clients dito, not necessarily Filipinos, na nagde-divorce, you know. What is mine? What is hers or his, what is ours? Yan ang ano ba yung mga properties ko lang, properties naming dalawa, o properties lang niya, you know. Sometimes ginagamit natin yung term na properties, assets, yan. They mean the same thing. Yung mga properties mo na accumulate mo or assets na accumulate mo prior to marriage is, of course, that is your separate property. And when the person got married, so pag nag-asawa na yan, especially sa Texas, may mga during the marriage, you will accumulate wealth, you know. You will buy, let's say, you will buy a real property, bahay nyo, lupa, pabili kayo ng sasakyan. No? Any purchase or any property that you purchase or earned assets earned during the marriage, yan naman ay tinatawag na community property. Okay? So kung wala kayong prenuptial agreement, wala kayong marital agreement, you know, governing your properties, then the default is those are community property. Whatever you earn, whatever you purchase during the marriage, that will be your community property. What is the just and right division of community property in Texas? Siguro bago natin sagutin yan, ano, Rusty, let me show you this first. Okay? Yung ating slide show, yan. Yung tanong dito is, what is a spouse entitled to in a divorce in Texas? Okay? So pag nag-divorce kayong mag-asawa, ano nga ba ang sayo, ang sa kanya o sa inyong dalawa? What are you entitled to? Okay? So kanina we distinguish between the two types of property, separate property and community property. Of course, yung separate property property mo sayo yan, unless of course binigay mo or you donated it or gifted it to your spouse. Okay? So when I say gifted, like for example, before your marriage, you bought a very expensive jewelry. Okay? Let's say it's a diamond ring na binili mo yan, you bought it prior to your marriage, siguro ibibigay mo sa whoever it is, not necessarily your wife, hindi mo pa siya kilala noon. And then you kept that. And then during the marriage, you realize na, oh, nandito pa pala sa akin tong diamond ring na ito. Let me just give it to my, let's say to my spouse. Let's say to my wife, sabi mong ganyan. So binigay mo yon, sabi mo sa kanya, oh, this is our, since it's anniversary, so I'm giving this to you as a gift. So remember that the ring, you bought it prior to your marriage, that's supposed to be your separate property. Pero because you gifted it to your spouse during the marriage, naging kanya na yon. Okay, you gifted it to her. So that is that becomes her separate property. So in terms of, in case you get divorced, hindi mo pa yung sabihin, akin na ba, binabawi ko na yung aking diamond ring. No, you cannot do that anymore because when you gifted it to your spouse, that ring becomes his or her property, separate property. And when the spouses get divorced, okay, yung mga community property, not necessarily in a 50-50 kayo, you have undivided interest on the property, on the community property. Don't get me wrong, you have undivided interest there. Pero if, let's say, nagkaroon kayo ng hearing, you show proof, you are entitled to this property. So the court will look into different factors, okay, and then divide the property, okay. How much are you going to get? Not necessarily 50-50. It's actually, the term that they use here is just and right. Okay? And that's why we say just and right. Ano nga ba tong just and right? So it only means that the court will consider what are the several factors na malalaman kung mas malaking percentage bang ibibigay kay wife o mas malaki ang percentage na ibibigay kay husband. Yung bahay ba ibibigay kay wife or kay husband? So by the court will weigh these factors. And ilan sa mga factors dito, makikita nyo nga dyan sa screen, length of marriage. Okay? Titignan nila, gano'ng katagal na ba kayong kasal? Kung 2 years pa lang naman kayong kasal, di ba? So wala pa kayong masyadong na-invest na emotion sa isa't isa or yung property ninyo, di ba? How much have you contributed to the community property? So the court will look into the length of your marriage, okay? Well, in general, lang sinasabi na the longer the marriage daw is, there's a greater need for support to a spouse who has, become a dependent of the other. So when we say dependent, like for example, during the marriage, hindi nagtrabaho yung wife kasi yung wife ang nag-alaga sa mga anak. And then the husband, siya yung nagtrabaho na nagtrabaho. So yung husband had the opportunity to earn money. Okay? So ngayon, yung wife, let's say for example, 10 years kayong married, and then malilit pa yung anak. Of course, kung 10 years pa lang kayo, let's say for example, yung panganay niyo anak, mga 10 years old, tapos meron kayong 7 years old, meron kayong 4 years old, and then 3 years old. Siyempre, kailangan may mag-alaga at mag-asikaso sa kanila. So, kung hindi man kayo nag-work pareho, the other one decided to, okay, ako na lang munang mag-alaga sa mga bata hanggang sa lumaki na sila. hindi ibig sabihin na mas malaki yung mapupunta sa na division sa husband, mas malaki yung makukuha ng husband because siya yung nagtrabaho tapos yung wife nasa bahay lang, 'di ba? So no, the court will consider several factors. Kaya nga sinasabi ko, length of marriages, ano, they will the court will look into, oh, 10 years kayo mag-asawa, 10 years na ano nag-alaga ng mga anak mo yung wife mo kaya hindi nakapagtrabaho, tapos ikaw nagtrabaho, ikaw nang had the opportunity to work. So isa yun sa mga factors. Okay, the other one is, you can see that on your screen, fault of either party. Ito yung mga fault divorce yan. So titingnan kung sino ba ang may kasalanan kung bakit kayo nagdi-divorce. Sino ang may fault? So this becomes ano, a fault-based divorce, okay? So when we say fault-based divorce, if you remember our discussion about that with Attorney Tina in our previous episode, we said that yung mga fault, like for example, adultery, yan, abandonment, cruel treatment, felony conviction, yan. So yung mga fault na titingnan. Sino mayroon ba sa inyo na ano na guilty of adultery during the marriage? Okay, so titignan 'yon. Kaya kailangan mo mapatunayan 'yon na the other spouse committed adultery. The other thing is abandonment. Ikaw ba during the time of the marriage, you know, you abandon your spouse. Bigla ka na lang naglaho, hindi ka na mahanap, you know. So, tapos tumaga na isang taon. So, you know, you have a fault in the marriage. So, titingnan yun ng court, okay? The other one is, of course, yung capacity to earn. When we say capacity to earn, you know, yung hindi naman ibig sabihin kailangan kumikita na malaki, okay? Tinitingnan lang ng court dito yung spouse ba na, let's say for example, yung husband and wife, yung husband, like yung example natin kanina, the husband has been working, so syempre nakapag-establish na siya ng ano, or na develop niya yung skills niya, nakapag-establish na siya ng reputation niya, magandang resume niya, so madali lang siya makapaghanap ng trabaho. Samantalang yung wife na nagstay sa marriage as a housewife, taking care of the children and the family, syempre hindi na develop yung skills niya to work, you know. So then affected yung kanyang capacity to earn. Kung mag-apply siya ng trabaho, matatanggap ba siya agad, you know, after the divorce. So titingnan din ng judge yung capacity to earn yan. And also, if you and also titingnan din ng court yung education ng spouse, of course. Syempre kung, let's say for example, during the marriage yung isa nagtatrabaho at the same time nag-aaral, 'di ba? Yung kumukuha ng mga masters, yung mga master's degree nila or doctorate kanyan. So yung spouse na yon, na-enhance yung kanyang skills. Samantalang isa hindi. So tinitingnan nila yon, mga factor na yun, education and of course capacity to earn. Yan. And the other factor here that we have on the screen is mishandling of assets. Yan. So during the marriage ba and naging ano na involved ba yung spouse sa gambling, you know, na mishandle ba niya yung assets nila, yung pera nila. So yung mga ganun na factor, tinitingnan ng court yan. Kung mayroon kang kasalanan, na misappropriate mo yung community property, let's say binigay mo sa ibang tao, o kaya tinatago mo na, you know, mga ganun. The court will look into those factors, yan, na mishandling of assets. Yan. And of course, tinitingnan nila yung liabilities ng spouses, ng both spouses, kung ano yung mga utang, ganyan. Yung pag sinabi natin liabilities could include contractual agreements. Meron ba silang nakipagkasundo ba yung parang ito yung mga loans, ganyan. Diba? Nag-loan siya sa tao, you know, there's an agreement. Katulad ng student loans din, and then a liability, credit card debts, yan. O kaya naman, nagkaroon ba ng money judgment against that spouse, you know. Home loans, business loan yan. Titingnan ng court ko yung mga liabilities ng mag-asawa. Okay? And also yung health. Kasi titingnan nila kung ito bang spouse na to, meron ba siyang medical condition that will hinder her or him from earning. Yan. na maapektuhan yung kanyang ability to earn money. So let's talk about the effect of divorce sa immigration status if you are a conditional resident muna, okay? Now, let's define this. What does it mean when an immigrant receives only conditional permanent residence or if you are considered conditional resident? So ito yung yung mga nag-immigrate sa US based on a marriage that is less than 2 years old at the time of admission to the US or at the time you change your receive your green card. If the marriage, let's say, remember you're a conditional resident. If the marriage ends in a final divorce before mo ma-file yung removal of condition, yung I-751 mo na petition, ibig sabihin, wala pang 2 years, hindi ka pa nakakapag-file ng removal, nag-file na ng divorce yung spouse, yung spouse mo. And then, let's say nag-file yan sa Texas. Texas, you know, after 60 days from the time of filing of the divorce, of the petition for divorce, ay pwedeng ma-finalize ang divorce niyan. When the judge signed the divorce decree, ang pinakamaagi dyan is 60 days. That means 2 months, di ba? So, pag na sinainan ng judge yung divorce decree ninyo na hindi ka pa nakapag-file ng removal of petition for removal ng conditional status mo, you will lose the ability to stay in the United States kasi walang panghahawakan na yun because the marriage has already been dissolved. Now again, that's a general rule. You may be able to find some exceptions to that, and that is why, but as of course that's case to case basis, so it's important for you to consult with an attorney para malaman mo if there are some exceptions na mag-a-apply sa case mo. Okay? Because otherwise, if it's just plain, if that's the only facts that you can provide, then wala ka ng panghahawakan. You cannot stay in the United States anymore because the marriage wala na, na-dissolve na. Naman, if the divorce proceedings are ongoing naman, when you file your I-751, which is your, yung petition to remove condition. Ngayon, ang mangyayari dyan, of course, hindi pa na, kasal ba kayo, pending pa yung divorce ninyo, di ba? But you still have to tell the truth to the USCIS that you are already, you already have a pending divorce. So ngayon, sabihin ng USCIS, bakit naman kaya na lang divorce? So i-scrutinize pa rin ng USCIS yan. Kasi, di ba, remember, if you are still married, you have to file jointly. So yung other spouse mo, of course, kung pending na yung divorce ninyo, can you ask that your soon-to-be ex-spouse to file, join you in your petition? So magiging medyo complex yung case na yan kasi syempre hindi ka na susuportahan noon eh, baka nga siya pa later on mag-withdraw, and we'll talk about that nung petition mo or nung application mo. But of course, there are ways to work around this with the USCIS. You may ask for more time or to obtain, of course, pwede mong sabihin, Mr. Officer, we have a pending divorce decree. Can we get more time? Kasi syempre, it's hard to really prove. Kasi when you try to remove the condition, hindi mo alam yung status mo noon eh. Am I gonna consider this I'm still married? Because legally speaking, you're still married. But of course, because of the divorce, you are terminating it for what reason? So mas medyo complicated. So you can ask for extra time from the US sa USCIS if they will allow you, extra time matapusin mo na yung divorce and you file your removal, and of course file documentations that may support your claim to get the permanent green card. But of course, at this point in time, medyo complicated na, I would advise you really to consult or hire an attorney. Don't do it on your own, because what you need to know about divorce and immigration if you already have a permanent green card? Ibig sabihin, if you obtain your green card through your marriage to a U.S. citizen or a permanent green card holder, then nalagpasan mo na yung two-year period, yung conditional status na yon, or it could either be that when you apply for adjuster status, when you apply for your green card, you've been married for more than 2 years na. Remember yung sinabi ko kanina, if you were issued a green card and at the time that it was issued, your marriage was less than 2 years, they will issue your conditional green card. But if the green card was issued and you're already more than 2 years married, then they'll issue you now permanent green card. So in that way, in that case, you don't have to apply to remove the condition because it's already a permanent green card. What about naman if you are already in the process of naturalization? Okay, so kanina nabanggit natin, kapag ka may green card ka na, if your green card was issued based on marriage, you know, 3 years lang ang bibilangin mo from the time the green card was issued, pwede ka na mag-file ng naturalization mo, okay? Because it's based on marriage. Of course, when you do that, you have to show proof that the marriage exists, it's authentic, that you are still happily married with each other, and, you know, you have to show all this evidence to support your claim. Pero kapag ka divorce na kayo, okay, so you are now going to file for naturalization no longer based on the marriage because the marriage is gone, you know, you're already divorced, then your waiting time is longer. From 3 years, magiging 5 years na yon. Okay, so five years from the time the green card was issued. So bibilain mo yon. Then pwede ka na mag-file ng naturalization mo, but and you don't have to show proof of the marriage. Of course, you still have to submit all this evidence that you are married, you were married in the past, and you have a divorce. You have to file your divorce. You have to submit your divorce decree as well. But you are no longer asking the government to approve you, to allow you to naturalize based on that marriage. Hindi na. So, hindi mo na kailangan submit yung mga evidence of your relationship pa. Hindi na. All you need to show proof is that yung, yung wala ka mga crime na will make you ineligible to naturalize or will make you deportable. Yun. And also, yung pagbibilain mo na ngayon yung mga number of days na wala ka sa, lumabas ka ng bansa, kailangan hindi ka lumagpas doon sa allowed stay outside. So then you will be able to naturalize. Yun nga lang, magbibilang ka ng 5 years na. Medyo mahaba-haba lang naman ng konti. So additional 2 years lang naman. So yun ang ano doon, effect noon. So that's how you can protect your immigration status in terms of naturalization. You need to show proof of the marriage, if it's based on the marriage, kahit na nag-divorce na kayo, pag nag-divorce kayo, you may still be able to naturalize, but longer lang, and then you have to show, you know, yung divorce decree ninyo, and other documentations to show that you are eligible to naturalize. So that's what you can do to protect your immigration status in case you get divorced before the 3-year period and after the 3-year period.